You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. T-shirts, get your T-shirts right here. About to be fresh off the press, your OneOfUs.net T-shirts, you can only get them right here. And please do, because for a limited time, OneOfUs.net, our new black and white T-shirts are on sale for really cheap if you pre-order them on the site. Please go ahead and pick yourself up a OneOfUs.net T-shirt. Help out the site, help out yourself, and look great doing it.
Okay, guys, based on my opinion of a certain superhero movie from earlier this year, you know that I like gritty reimagining of kids' properties, but I do not think kids should see this Frozen remake.
You know what, JC? I think you should let it go. Let it go.
I probably should.
You know what? This is just Earth 2 Frozen is the way I thought about it. You know, it's like the way it could have gone.
Yeah.
You know, which is in a way where Charlize Theron will eat any and all scenery available for her.
I'm actually okay with that, though.
Yeah. Well, she's always fun to watch do it. But yeah, it's just so funny because Emily Blunt is playing it much more straight.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlize Theron is like, give me that fucking sideboard. I'm going to chew on it for a while.
She's hamming it up, definitely.
Yeah, she's doing the diabolical laughs.
It kind of made me feel like if I were a PA on set, like which of the two I'd have more fun hanging out with, it probably would be Charlize Theron.
Which, yeah. To be fair, Charlize Theron's not actually in this movie as much as the trailers might lead you to believe.
Oh, no.
In fact, the trailers led me to believe a lot of the stuff in this plot was different than how it actually was.
Yeah.
There's even at least one sequence that they changed a little bit for the trailer, but it's neither here nor there. The story here, like, all right, see, this...
What's the name of the movie?
I'm sorry, The Huntsman, Winter's War.
Winter's War.
Well, you don't have to be an ass about it. So the trailers, for one thing, lead you to believe this is just a straight-up prequel. And it's not at all, just the most boring part is.
Yeah. By far, the whole first act, you could honestly walk into this movie about 35 minutes late, and you'd be fine.
And it is generally a pet peeve of mine when a movie spends more than 5 minutes or so with a narrator and going through, this is everything you need to know so we can get to the actual movie.
Yeah.
The one exception being Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
Who's the narrator for this film, though? Is it Liam Neeson?
I couldn't figure who that narrator was.
It certainly sounded like it was
Steve Coogan doing an impression of Liam Neeson.
It was definitely very Liam Neeson-esque. I'll give you that.
I try really hard to avoid the need to like look at my watch and stuff. About 35, 40 minutes in, I'm like, nothing has happened in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked, and sure enough, it was about 45 minutes in.
I was bored. I was lucky I had my snacks. But as soon as I finished, I was like, shit, what am I going to do? I can't take out my phone because this isn't an AMC theater.
Yeah,
and I can't talk because some people might enjoy the film. So I just kind of like zoned out.
Well, see, I think that honestly, this film turned around for me quite a bit because after they got done with the first act, I'm like, okay, now this is what happened after the previous film. I actually started to have fun, and that's partially because they introduced characters that were fun. The characters who we already knew started having fun and saying funny things. They're like, Chris Hemsworth, it's time for you to be charming now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was just being serious and dour before.
And I meant to go back and like rewatch the first one because I remember the first one, it might have just been because I had such low expectations, but I remember it being a pleasant surprise for me that year. Like, it didn't come anywhere near my top 10, but I remember coming away from that movie, like, I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
But why? Why did you enjoy it?
See, that's the problem. I don't remember.
I don't really remember.
Yeah.
It was ultimately kind of forgettable, but I remember as watching it, I was like, yeah, this isn't as bad, anywhere near as bad as I thought it was.
If I had to guess, I think I remembered, and kind of just looking at this sequel as far as, like, producer-wise and budget-wise, like, most of the doors are gone. From that first movie to this one. So that was like a big budget cut. There's no...
Oh, yeah. There were 7 dwarves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Snow White.
Yeah.
I did not remember that.
And I think I remember the battle scenes and the action in the first one being pretty well done here. And there's like one, maybe two big action sequences here. And they're very contained in like super small areas.
So you want to know why you can't remember this film very well? It's because we've seen it.
Well,
probably 100 times.
Probably that too.
This story so many times, or at least that.
Well, I mean, it is based on a fairy tale, albeit loosely.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Or rather, it's not really based on a fairy tale.
Inspired by actual events.
You know the fairy tale that we really loosely based the last one on? Well, this has barely anything to do with it.
This is the more murderous, violent, death stabby one.
Featuring a special appearance by a ripoff of a beloved Disney character and the villain from the last one. The story here basically is that the Charlize Theron's character in the last one, Ravina, the evil queen, had a sister, Freya, played by Emily Blunt. And this starts off, you know, with us giving us all the exposition, as I'm doing for you now.
Thank you, Liam Neeson.
She basically, Ravina killed her own husband because she's evil. That's all the explanation you need, by the way. Mm-hmm. And
was that Snow White's dad?
I think it was Snow White's dad.
But then Snow White would be... How old? What?
I don't know.
Seven?
No one ages in this film.
Remember, she got bitten and turned into a vampire.
Oh, yeah. So 100?
Anyway, so Emily Blunt's still the nice one. She's sweet, and she's having an affair she shouldn't be having with a guy who they're not really specific about the details.
Yeah, who the fuck was that guy?
The guy who played Merlin on the BBC.
Dead Man Walking. That was his name.
And they're like, oh, you can't be with him. He's already proclaimed to another. She's like, no, he loves me. And, you know, she sends a message to him, come on, you know, I had your baby, and let's grab the baby and go. And then one night he comes supposedly for her, but then she finds him in the room with the baby where he has, of all things, torched the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Of all ways to, kill a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set it on fire.
Yeah.
So,
caught him black-handed.
Can I give a spoiler?
Sets up the ice powers.
No.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously they did the whole, torching a baby thing to be like, fire, bad. Ice queen, make ice. But they don't they don't really bring the whole fire thing back into it. Like, that seems very logical to me. They have one part where she's like, no fire!
There should be a fire queen in here somewhere. Ooh, chapter 3.
That's
the Huntsman Fires War.
See, that's what I assume. Charlize Theron, she'll be the fire queen.
No, but
I never saw the original.
But she's
the best thing about this movie. They have to figure out a way to bring her back.
She's gross black tendrils.
Yeah, which
green,
I thought were really
whatever.
Cool. Where
is
that?
Which she didn't have in the first movie. Yeah.
I don't think she had that in the first movie.
She didn't. I don't remember anything. Okay, so the thing that made the first movie watchable, I think, was Charlize Theron and all of those gorgeous dresses she was wearing, those amazing costumes and gowns.
Who does her hair?
I do. I'm that good at hair. That million braid and then tied up. What? Okay. I think the costuming in the first movie for her was so good. And then Emily Blunt's costuming was kind of...
I mean, it was cool, but then it was just kind of the same thing.
Yeah, and it wasn't very animated. So, it was obvious that it was actual fabrication.
Well, there was that one dress that had, rails she could rest her elbows on.
I know, that was weird. It jingle-jangled.
It felt like, to me, from a stylistic point of view, it was because we know that Charlize Theron, you see the trailer, you know she's going to be in the movie at some point, even though there's a point at well over an hour, you're like, you guys notice we haven't seen Charlize Theron since the, prequels.
Oh, no, she was in the background of every single scene, waving.
Hi!
You just got to rewatch it.
And then the shark came and ate her every time. No. I felt like it was just they kept her costumes down because when Charlize finally showed up with her outfit, they no competition.
Yeah.
And whose outfit was the craziest? Charlize Theron wins? Hands down.
Mm-hmm. She's like, Emily Blunt, you're the Gap, and I am Couture.
Well, anyway, so Freya with her child gone, her heart freezes over, she gains magic powers of ice, and goes off to form her own kingdom in the north, where the Starks will rule forever.
In the north.
She has her own direwolf, though.
And she does have her own direwolf.
Dire bear, that dirty bear.
But she decides she's going to kidnap children everywhere, because she wants to get them before they're old enough to learn about love, and teach them there is no such thing as love, and it's all a lie, and I'm going to train you to be the world's best warriors, my huntsman, and go out, and basically, for no good reason, over all the rest of the kingdoms.
Sacrifice their lives for her to, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I hate about that. One, The queen in the first movie, her motivation was...
I'm evil.
Vanity. Vanity. She wants to be the fairest of them all, right? Mm-hmm. The motivation for the queen in this one is her baby died, so no one can have love. But you know what?
No one can have babies. No.
Actually, it was more... It was less about the baby dying and more about her lover betraying her.
Yes.
Like, she has a, like, ice-maid... a bassinet thing, but it feels like she was more concerned about this guy betraying her than her baby dying.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, like, that was, like, two bad tropes put together.
I think that, like, the baby dying is, like, yes, the real thing that caused the most amount of heartbreak, but the anger was at him because not only did he kill their baby, but he betrayed her and broke her heart, you know, the love there. So it was, like, double love. I mean, it made sense to me because it's just you combine them into one, you can see how her target would have been him in a I haven't thought this through all the way sort of sense.
Yes. Absolutely. But, I mean, what they should have done is, and I thought this is where they were going when they first kidnapped the children and she like is standing in front of them giving a speech. I thought she was going to be like, I'm the only one who can love you sort of thing. But then she's like, no love, never. Like, it didn't make sense to me that was the thing that was destroying her on the inside. And that was her motivation to ice the world for some reason.
I also had issues with, like, the way Chris Hemsworth's character, he comes across a scared, shy little girl, and he's, like, super nice to her and gives her all this encouragement, but in the back of your mind, you're like, and then you're going to turn her into a loveless soldier, you asshole.
Like, well, it doesn't make any sense why his character is like this. Oh, yeah. this, you know, rogue, and he's all having
chin
fun
up, kid,
and
you'll be okay.
Well, he's a Han Solo,
I mean, you know, that's all great and all, but I had trouble, like, understanding him, because, you know, he went from, like, a Scottish accent to his Australian accent to then to the Sylvester Stallone-type voice.
I never have any trouble understanding Chris Hemsworth.
Oh.
Yeah. We understand
body language.
Each other. what was it I said that you said I got to say during the review before it started?
Oh, because you were eating popcorn.
Yeah.
And you were like, for some reason, I'm craving salty food. And I was like, pregnant.
Yeah, and I was like, it's like, no, it's just my body's preparing for pregnancy because I know I'm about to see a Chris Hemsworth film.
But you know what? Chris Hemsworth was gross in this. He was so dirty looking. He looked like he smelled, like, you know.
Middle ages, everyone smelled bad.
It's a fake middle age.
Well,
you know when you go,
I know.
You know, for people.
No, Chris, they actually went back in time.
Jessica Chastain looked like she smelled
lovely. You know when you go out in the snow in, like, your snowsuit and, like, you play out in the snow and then you come back in and you don't think you would be gross and sweaty, but you take the snowsuit off and it's just like that combination of the cold smell and your sweat. Mm-hmm. That's what he looked like. He smelled like
roses, nostalgia, and scented oils to me. So I think we're all good.
And
there.
Vegemite.
You might have heard before that he's like my one man crush.
One?
And plus, it's great. You know, it's like for once, it was nice to see Thor not playing that Chris Hemsworth character he's always playing. I was very pleased to see that. Even though what was with the sometimes Scottish accent and sometimes not, agreed. But that's, we've already pretty much come to terms with the fact that Chris Hemsworth is not great at accents. He can do Thor and he can do his own actual accent, and that's about it.
The thing about these movies.
He doesn't sound like
Thor is
Thor
like English.
He's like Australian or something.
He is Australian.
Yeah.
The thing about Thor.
The thing about these movies is they're taking place in a fantasy land anyways. Why force an actor to have any kind of accent?
Yeah, agreed. But maybe it's just because they're like, well, Jessica Chastain's his lady love in here, and she's a total badass. Probably even more of a badass than he is.
She never lost her
accent. And she's got red hair, which means she's either Scottish or Irish. End of story.
She had one Irish face, though. Yeah. But she had a Scottish accent.
But it was like, you know, so they're the two kids who grow up and, like, you know, they're the bad ass of the huntsman. And, of course, they fall in love. And the queen's like, get the fuck out of here. That shit ain't cool. And makes them think that they're both, like one's dead and one's, abandoning. And anyway, pick up years later. And the movie actually starts getting entertaining because they bring in Nick Frost, who I guess was in the last movie as Adora.
Yeah. Yes. And Rob Brydon. I said Steve Coogan, and you know what? It's kind of a joke that those two always get mixed up, because they kind of look similar.
I can see it, yeah.
And I was like, I knew it was Rob Reiner in my head, but my second head.
I should know that because I used to really like that show Gavin and Stacey that he was on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't know it. I was pretty sure it wasn't Steve Coogan, but either way, like, they brought a good amount of humor into it, and then it really doubled down when they introduced two female dwarves, Alexandra Roach and Sheridan Smith, who really did have a lot of good chemistry with each other and with the other dwarves, and generally upped the okay, now I'm having fun level of the film quotient. I thought quite significantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I was like, I'm actually having fun watching all these characters together.
Same.
Now, I did think it was a little weird when they introduced, like, goblins for the first time into this mythos. Yeah. That they're really more like gorillas with horns.
To me, it felt like the director of this saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and goes, I have a great idea.
Well, there's no question that the director of this was like, we need some Planet of the Apes. We need a lot of Lord of the Rings, a lot of Game of Thrones. Because as you were saying, JC, this is definitely... like someone saying, we've got to get that middle ground between something that is okay to bring your kids to and something that will remind the parents of Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. You know, because this is a lot more violent than you would expect a fairy tale movie. Yeah,
plenty of side boob, a few severed hands, and there you go.
There wasn't side boob. A little bit, but it was during a sex scene.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was something I kind of liked, that there were a pretty good number of female huntsmen, huntswomen's warriors, if you will. Yeah. And they were pretty, they were like obviously stunt actors doing it. So they're pretty beefy. And even, what's her name? Jessica Chastain?
Yes.
She was like, she had pretty good muscle definition. So you kind of believe that she could do some of these moves. Although she did do my least favorite.
The jump on the neck and flip a guy around?
Yeah. Grab a man with your thighs and flip him around, which... okay, anybody can tell you that is very hard to do. That is very hard to
do. Well, she is supposed to be the greatest female.
Why didn't Chris Hemsworth do that to me?
A lot of men.
I was asking myself the same question, except to me.
But, I kind of...
I'm freaking Herman out. Right?
Everyone has their man crush. I certainly have mine. So.
Oh, who is really?
It? Yeah. I'm not saying.
Why?
Seriously?
He wanted to get impregnated.
I just said I wanted to get pregnant by Chris Hemsworth. You're not even going to say who yours is.
Well, you know,
no, it's Chris Evans.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, person.
Yay.
I'm fine. Me and Chris will be happy together. You take your Chris, and I'll take my Chris.
Oh, that's double date.
Yeah.
And then JC could have Chris Pratt.
I've got to be four Chrises in the same car.
I can do worse.
the C stands for Chris, right?
Yeah.
JC. Okay.
No, that's the funny. Whenever I see that, I always go, well, yes, it's overused. Mainly because it looks cool shit when people do it.
Yeah.
But then I think about the whole Chinese. There's a whole Chinese martial art that was developed entirely because it looks good on film.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, okay, we can't really talk that much shit. All those movies that are like the best fighting films ever made are all not really a martial art.
It's dancing.
So it's like,
it's dancing
okay,
for straight dudes.
Fair enough. We're like, it's hard to get too critical of American films just because we found a move we like.
Well, this was something, another problem I had with this film, that the action scenes were edited so quick. Like,
they were too close up.
Too close up. Yeah. It was... Faces were blurry. Limbs were blurry. It was hard to tell what was going on, who was getting hit.
Which is a shame, because it looked like they were actually well choreographed.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
were just not edited very well.
Yeah. There was one shot, it looked like Chris Hemsworth straight up caught an axe to the collarbone, and then like in the very next shot... He's fine.
He's lying down on a pillow.
It's to keep that PG-13 rating, to hide all that, you know, really gritty violence.
I disagree, because you can watch Avengers or, like, Captain America or something like that, and they have pretty good fight scenes, and obviously people are getting skulls smashed.
Yeah.
But
they're not using, like, weapons. They're not cutting off people's arms.
Yeah. Well, you don't see any of that here.
Yeah,
the problem is the editing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the level of violence. It's that you can't tell what's going on.
Yeah, and it was, once again, shot too close, I thought, a lot of the time, which is often the most common problem. I always call it, like, the Jason Bourne problem, because his Bourne films all have that issue. It's way too close and way too choppy editing when you're like, that looks like it should be cool. I wish I could tell who did what to who, but all I saw was a bunch of blurry stuff. stuff. Yeah. Fist moving around.
I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I feel like a lot of stuff in this movie was shot way too close.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't enough establishing. And you know what? I kind of am very anti-establishing shots, like overdrawn establishing shots. But this felt like there were transitions where we needed a bit of an establishing shot. So there was a point where Chris Hemsworth is in a tavern, and we go from, like, them on the road to him being like, I need some information in a tavern. And they didn't even show him, like, walking up to the bar or anything like that. There were a couple scenes like that. So I think the editing was just bad.
There were issues with the editing. I didn't think it was, like, I don't think it bugged me as much as it did you. I will say that I thought this actually had a really good visual sense, though, in terms of cinematography, which doesn't really surprise me. This is directed by not the guy, same guy did the first one. It's directed by Cedric Nicholas Troyan, who did work as second AD on the first one and won the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects for the first one.
What?
Yeah.
I think that might have been one of the things that impressed me about the first one, too. And then in this one, some of the CGI is like, in both movies, the way they do the gold effect of like the liquid gold, really cool in both movies.
And then when that's echoed through, when you finally see Charlize Theron's like final outfit, you're like, why didn't you wear that at the Academy Awards?
Yeah. Even the part of the magic mirror, I thought. I mean, I didn't see the original. I guess that was part of the first one, but I thought that was really cool and creepy looking.
Yeah.
There's really definitely some neat visual ideas going on here, and I think like when it's not being funny and when it's not one of the admittedly less, but still cool when it happens, action scenes in here, then that kind of kept me going, though. Just like, this is an awfully pretty-looking film, if nothing else. You're like, it definitely is the closest I've seen, in some senses, to something not in the Tolkienverse getting the feel of that world in the way it looks like.
Yeah, because I can even remember, like, Maleficent. Maleficent didn't look really as good as, like, no. as this movie did. Yeah.
It was overly CG'd.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I liked Maleficent better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I liked Maleficent, but I unlike a lot
just
of people.
The visuals aspect
But I thought, yeah. I thought I liked this series anyway better so far. You know, it's funny, talking about the violence level, if Fables had actually gotten the deal, if it had gone through, what, five, 6 years ago, and they'd made it, maybe more than that now, however many seasons Once Upon a Time is plus one. if that had gone through and they made a series of that, I bet you anything this would have been a rated R film and no one would have thought twice about it.
Yeah.
Because we would have already bought into the, it's totally cool to do really violent adult fairy tales. And Universal clearly wants to go that way, but there's executives going, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Anyway,
they sounded like that.
Well, they're executives, so they sound like Charlize Theron in this movie.
Can I just mention one scene where Charlize Theron and Emily Blunt are interacting?
Yeah,
and like Emily Blunt is kind of nervous, like giving a speech in front of her huntsman, and Charlize Theron is like behind her, like slinking behind her in her ear, and something happens. I don't want to spoil it, and like. Charlize Theron's like, what shall be their justice? Or something like that. And Emily Blunt goes, death. And when she says death, Charlize Theron just goes, like she breathes in like it is the most sensual.
No, she's totally like erotic to her, like seducing her. And Sarah's sitting next to me and she's like, oh my God, it's like she's seducing her sister. I'm like, I know, right? It's totally hot.
It was. There was like some, and I sensed it at the beginning too. I thought that Charlize Theron's character was jealous of the dude that Emily Blunt was fucking. I thought she was like, no, sister, you love me, and I love you. Not that man. He's stupid. Let's kill him.
They really are going for Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But they took it one step further.
Now I don't feel like a jerk for yelling, kiss her, in the middle of the audience.
I was yelling it, too. Charlize Theron is my, like, huge female crush.
And a well-deserved one. She's, proven she's a woman who can handle any number of different, really different types of roles and do it very well.
She said on some interview, like, someone was asking, how do you walk so regally? And she's like, just walk into a room like you're about to murder everyone. And I'm like, yes!
You're like,
I mean, And I hope the microphone picks that up.
Meanwhile, 1 week later, Sarah's lawyer, Sarah, she said, metaphorically walk in that way. Not actually come in loaded for bear. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. JC, what do you think?
I feel like this going in, it had a little bit stacked against it because the first one was a pleasant surprise for me, even though I couldn't really remember why. And this one, sequels tend to, unless they kind of go way over the top, sequels tend to, you know, disappoint a little bit compared to the first. And so that's kind of what I felt here. The most disappointing thing about this is from the opening, Charlize Theron is clearly the best thing about probably both of these movies. And for whatever reason, the people who made this movie are like, all right, let's cut her out of the entire middle of the movie and then bring her back for the third act. And so, for me, the middle didn't work very much at all, and the first act, after Charlize Theron goes away, for me, it's like there's nothing happening. And I'm just kind of waiting for Charlize Theron to come back, kind of like in real life.
Was she
the earth some point?
Well, no, but just
she lives in your spare bedroom, Chris. Haven't you noticed?
Someday I shall return for you.
She always like clogs the drain. Remember?
That's right. That's what all that blonde hair is. That's right.
I think overall this will probably be a mostly forgettable movie. I don't think I've kind of had that one movie this year where. 8 months down the road, I can't remember whether or not I saw this movie or not, and this might be it for me. So I would give it 4.5 out of 10 spy owls.
Herman?
I've never seen the original, like I said, I've never seen the original film, and I was going this pretty low expectations, and based on just like early reactions I've been hearing from people, it's like, ugh. But I was pleasantly surprised at some parts. Like everyone has said, I think Charlize Theron is great. I wish she was in it more. I mean, she's hamming it up. It's like kind of that B-movie level of acting, but for whatever reason, it really just works in this film, and she's great. Emily Blunt, who plays Elsa in the film, she's fine. Nothing spectacular or anything. You know, she's just kind of doing her, I guess, frigid ice queen type thing, which, you know, I guess that works for the film itself. But Chris Hemsworth, I'm not the biggest fan of. He's pretty much playing himself here. I know a lot of people. Now, if it was Chris Evans, on the other hand.
Girl,
I tell you what, he's my second choice.
Girl, and it's just like the Chris is like braiding Charlize Theron's hair and be like, girl.
Chris Pine's pretty good too.
Chris Pine.
Oh yeah,
I'm not the biggest Chris Pine fan. He's a little smarmy.
Anybody who's Chris is good with me.
Yeah,
except you because you don't like. Chris Evans.
I'm sad.
Trying to think of another Chris.
Sorry. Chris Evans is good. Okay. Jessica Chastain, I thought, was surprisingly good. I liked the fact that she kept her accent in the film, unlike Chris Hemsworth.
He's just got a thing.
Yeah. I'm just not a big fan of that mush mouth guy.
Brick face.
Nothing moves. No, there's no expression. I'm just trying to think if there's anything. I mean, It's a story that we've seen so many times before. We've seen it told better. The whole middle portion, I agree that it was like so forgettable. The only thing that really made it any better was like Nick Frost and the other guy.
Oh, I got it. Frost.
Yeah, Frost. That's another thing. That's why he was in this one. But other than that, I'd probably just give it 5 out of 10 gooey, stabby things.
Sarah?
Yeah, how can they be gooey and pointy at the same time?
They instantly harden.
Oh.
Yes. Because they're magic, I guess.
Oh, yeah, magic.
It's only when she gets turned on do they harden.
Oh, because of death. She got turned on by death.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
I want you inside me, Charlize.
I think the weakest part of the first film was probably Kristen Stewart. And she is not in this.
Her body double is.
Despite that brown wig on a dummy in front of a gold shield / mirror, that is, I guess they like either felt they didn't need her or they realized, oh, she was the worst part of that movie. Mm. So kudos for no Kristen Stewart. Although I think she often gets a bad rap. She was... anyway,
when she's in straight dramas, she tends to not be too bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Not enough Charlize. Charlize. Get
you
it?
Wish.
She's foreign. She probably does foreign people things, which is, you know, exotic and sensual. I don't know. I'm just rambling. I'm embarrassed now. Not enough hurt. I agree. Emily Blunt is very cold. Haha.
Very blunt?
What?
She's very blunt?
She's very blunt.
Yes.
Wah, wah. But, I mean, I think that role didn't call for very much. And I'm also so ever so sick of the, like, jilted lover slash dead child slash jealous of a beautiful woman trope. Why couldn't she just want power like a man?
Because that's boring.
Yeah, but dead baby is also boring.
It's a fairy tale type story. That's what happens in all of them.
Yeah, but I mean, they subverted a lot of tropes here by, you know, having a warrior lady.
We gotta have that.
I did a little.
Oh, she was Meredith from Brave. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
She was Meredith from Brave?
Yeah, basically who she was.
Yeah, you're right. Didn't even think about that.
Disney's still mad. It's like, these things are copying.
Oh, they got that's another thing.
Over this film.
That's another. That's another nitpicky thing. That the women have to be good at archery, because that is a feminine. A feminine weapon.
Yeah, like Legolas.
I always like archery.
Yeah, exactly.
I always like archery stuff. I'm always like a rogue in video games. I'm like, that's the best class. See, that's my favorite class. So
why don't we call up Chris Evans and tell him that?
Yeah.
An arrow to your heart.
He'll like, we'll watch Hunger Games and Brave together. It'd be nice. Rip out the fire.
You like Jeremy Renner too then, I guess, huh?
He's got weird.
He does. No. Yeah. No, I don't like Jeremy Renner. Okay, I'm just like thinking of all the people
let's not go through that.
I like, you know what? Mark Ruffalo is another guy. I'd like, you know what? It's good. I like
Abe Steve's nice.
I like his Columbo look.
Dan
I
like that he's.
Oh, one more thing.
He's Dan Harmon's man crush. Yeah. Every once in a while he goes, I could totally just cuddle.
He looks like he's a good. He looks like he would fall asleep on the couch with you and just like cuddle under like a big fleece blanket.
Yeah, he'd be the one.
But I digress.
He'd be the one staying up all night watching over you, making sure you're warm, putting a blanket on you.
No, that's creepy. You know? It's like, why doesn't he sleep?
Because he might have a bad dream and hulk out and you could get hurt.
Oh no, not when he's sleeping with me. It's all like dreams about cotton candy and sunshine. but I digress.
We all digress.
Like JC, I'm going to I already forgot about this movie. What movie did we see?
Frozen 2.
No. But I don't even think it was close enough to Frozen to be like, oh, nah. Frozen. It just had an ice queen in it, which is an old Danish fairy tale or some shit.
Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah. He's a Danish dude.
Some guy lives in a frozen place. He's like, fuck it, she has ice powers, because we don't know what fire is.
Yeah, fire is bad. The action had problems, how it was shot, but that dress that Charlize Theron was wearing at the end, girl, I would kill to just, like, live in that dress. Like, I would not wear it, just, like, live under it. Like, live under Charlize Theron's dress.
I would live under that dress.
Yeah.
Any dress she wears as well.
Yeah. So, I'm going to give it 4 out of 10 liquid gold dresses and bonus for eye makeup.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, the eye makeup was pretty badass.
On point! Man.
Totally. Yeah, I wanted to wear that now. I guess I like this more than all of you guys. And partially it's just like, I saw all the problems you're talking about, but none of them really bothered me all that much. I was like, ultimately I'm having fun, and I completely agree, JC. This is the movie, and when they make the third one, which they probably will, I'll be like, I'll be damned if I remember anything that happened in this one. But it was a pleasant way to spend the time. I didn't feel like I had to turn my brain off for it. I was like, no, I'm actually having fun with this much more than not. But it's also speaking to a lot of the stuff I really like. You know, the stuff I'm enjoying is the stuff that does feel like Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings or stuff like that. I'm like, okay, this is cool. The CG is pretty cool, except for the dire bear, which looked kind of lame.
Yeah.
Everything else looked
pretty
cool.
And the goblin.
No, I thought the goblin looked cool.
The ape goblin.
It was like too solid black. Goblin.
It was different. I'll give him
it
that.
It was different. Yeah. And yeah. I was like, okay, that was at least something there. And there were little visual surprises to this whole thing that kept me going, wow, I'm engaged with it on that level. I don't know. I had fun with it. I thought it had whoever's writing the punch-up dialogue did a really good job because it was really funny when it needed to be. Oddly, JC, unlike you, I thought the whole first act was really dull, including the Charlize Theron parts where I'm like, this is just pretty much the stuff we already know.
Well, she was good in it, but it was just all like nonsensical and no explanation.
All exposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually really liked it the moment they went to 7 years later. You're like, okay, Liam Neeson, shut up. That was Liam Neeson. Let us watch the actual movie that started 35 some minutes into the film. And then from then on, I actually had a good time with it. And I thought the third act was a lot of fun, partially because, yes, Charlize Theron shows up, throws every bit of like acting for film rule out the window and is like, no, I'm on a stage and the audience is sitting only all the way in the balcony. So I got to reach to the cheap seats with this performance. And so here we go.
Except for when she whispers.
Yeah. Except
for when she whispers.
Anyway, I had fun with this. I give it 6.5 out of 10 dreamy gazes from Chris Hemsworth. Mm. Because of course I do.
Yeah.
Although I like him better when his hair is blonder.
Yeah.
Just saying.